Okay? You know, like I stated, one of the most important promises from God is Jesus. Amen? From the beginning, Jesus was the most important promise that humanity can ever have. The fact that that promise was fulfilled is an amazing, amazing thing, as God always fulfills his promises, and more so with his precious promise of Christ and what he did for us. The life, the death, the resurrection. I mean, and it doesn't stop there, because there's also the second coming. And so without that gospel, where would we be today, right? Where would you be today without the gospel? My friends, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people that do not know about this gospel. But you have the privilege today to know about it and to be able to live it out and to be here today in the house of God to worship our Lord, our God, that has given us such a promise. Now, with that being said, my dear congregation, today we will be discussing about this other amazing promise called the Holy Spirit. And I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to the book of John 14:16, in which we're going to read that this promise came from the lips of Jesus himself. John 14:16 comes from my favorite Bible verse, which is John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so Jesus is trying to comfort his disciples. He's trying to let them know that he has to go, but that he will be back. He will return. And so for them, this was a little bit hard to understand. And so as he continued on in his appeal to them, letting them know that Jesus is the way to the Father, and letting them know that he goes to prepare a place for them, he says this in verse 16. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you sometimes forever." Now, when I was reading this forever word here, when I saw that forever word, it just kind of, you know how when you've read something a million times and just thought, okay. But when I read that last word there, forever, it made me think. And then in listening to Dwight Nelson and in listening to and reading some of the chapters there of the book that you guys have been reading, it just opened up something incredible in my mind. As I felt that in these troubled times, don't we need the comfort, right? The advocate, in which Jesus was speaking to the disciples here, of that advocate that will give them comfort at this moment in which they felt despair and confusion and like, where are you going, Jesus? You know, sometimes in our lives, when we feel the same way, and we're looking for that answer in our lives, that direction, right? And we believe in a God, we believe in an amazing God that has got us thus far, and we try to remember those promises that he's kept in our lives, where he took us out of. And so I love how Jesus here himself, a perfect human being as well as divine, he himself says that he's going to send an advocate, but he himself also needed the Spirit in his moments, in his darkest moments. And so I was just trying to look at here and just kind of really realized one thing here to start off with. In John 14:16, Jesus promises to send his Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us forever. And one of my fears as Adventists, when I was growing up, when I was a young kid, I would hear this, that one day the Holy Spirit will leave the face of the earth, and then in the time of trouble, we won't know whether or not we're saved. And so that's why this and that. And I was just like, I was so fearful of being lost. I don't know if you've felt that way too. And that was a little bit discouraging for you to hear that the Holy Spirit will not be around anymore and that you won't know if you're saved or not. And I kind of started wondering, if the Word says that the Holy Spirit will be there forever, what does that mean in the times of trouble? The times in which a lot of times we are fighting for our lives, we are going through trials and tribulations, but in the midst of our struggles, the Word says here that the Holy Spirit provides a sense of solace and assurance. Will that time of trouble also be in the time of trouble? Does the Holy Spirit decide to say, I'm not going to deal with these people anymore. I'm out of here. And he just leaves us? Or is Jesus' words vain? Is he just saying forever just because he wants to say forever? Or does it really mean forever? My friends, I like for us to think about that, because for me, when I read this word forever, it meant that if I chose Christ as my personal Savior, and I could come boldly to the throne of God because he is in me and I am in him, as if you read this whole chapter, it talks about that. And I'm talking about last week's sermon as well. But if we put all these elements together, we have to know that no matter what happens, no matter what valley we find ourselves in, that is as dark as the valley of the shadow of death, I have to not fear any evil. There's no reason for me to fear any evil. Because what? Who's walking with me? Who did Jesus send to walk with me, to help me, to guide me, to comfort me in those moments when my soul is weary and my strength can no longer support the weight of this world on my shoulders, and I feel that the challenges in life I can't endure anymore, and even at times my faith seems unwavering. Who am I to depend on? Because Jesus is doing some work for us in our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary. So who am I to depend on? The one that Jesus sent. The advocate. The Holy Spirit. As he whispers words of peace and encouragement, that even though I'm going and I'm overwhelmed by my sorrow and my pain that I feel, he says it's going to be okay. It's going to be better than okay. He's reminding us constantly of God's unfailing love and his promises. It is the only way that we can get by certain tragedies in our life. How many have we lost along the way? How many unexpected situations have happened in our lives in which we have no words? We have all we can do is groan and moan in our pains and suffering. It's true, we do not deserve it. We don't deserve it. I had a little talk with someone that told me, you know, Pastor, you're always saying that we don't deserve it, you know. And yes, it is true. We have to remind ourselves that we don't deserve it sometimes. You know, we don't, but it doesn't change the fact that we're worthy of that, that we're worthy of God's love, because if it wasn't so, he would not send his son to die on a cross for us, to resurrect and defeat death, to make us worthy. We have some value, not because there's anything good in us, but because he loves us so much and unconditionally. That's why. So we're worthy. He made me worthy. He made you worthy. Do we deserve it? No. But he made us worthy, my friends. And because he made us worthy, he says, listen, I don't want to leave you alone. I want to stamp my seal on you. And so I will send my Holy Spirit. I will send the Holy Spirit. That's my guy. And he's going to take care of you in the moments. And he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. When the doctor says that you have no hope, I give you hope. When the doctors, when your wife says you're not worthy, I say you're worthy. When the people in the community say that, you know what, you are nobody, you are somebody. That's what God does. That's what the Holy Spirit reminds us of. And he speaks truth to our hearts according to the divine purpose. It says here, as believers, we are called to walk in the light of God's truth. However, discerning truth from falsehood in this world plagued by deception can be daunting. It could be daunting. There's so many things where it looks good, but there's so much evil behind it. And sometimes some things that are, that now that the things that are good for you, they're saying that are bad for you. And people are confused. They don't know. And even us that can be connected to the source at times, can also be confused. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in this world full of deception that can be daunting. It can haunt us. It could cause us pain. It could cause us, you know, if we make the wrong decision, it could cost us our salvation. So thankfully, the Holy Spirit serves as a divine guide, leading us unto truth. What truth? This truth. The Bible, the Word of God. And so through His guidance, we gain clarity and wisdom to navigate the complexities of life. He illuminates the Scripture. Have you ever had that happen to you? Well, if you've known a verse for a long time, but when you read it again and again, and you're just sitting in your car, and you're like, oh, that hit home. Or when you're listening to that song, and that song just has this verse, and it just you just resonate with it, and you're able to live it out, and not only just feel it, but you want to share it with others. My friends, the Holy Spirit illuminates Scriptures. Ellen White says that we wouldn't need her if we were to read Scriptures all the time. If we would be diving into the Word and study it for real. And she says if we were to just do that, we wouldn't need her writings. But unfortunately, because a lot of the times we just want shortcuts, you know? We don't have the time. We're working. We're doing double shifts. We're caught up in the things of this world that really has no, I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. But there's things in this world that we get caught up in that sometimes I'm like, what are we doing? What am I doing, Lord? Why am I caught up in this? So that's what He does. He unveils the hidden truths, the insights every day, and He reveals God's purpose in our lives and in the lives of many other people. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, we can boldly proclaim the truth, and stand firm in our convictions. We don't have to be afraid of saying that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. Does that make sense? We don't have to be afraid of that, whether they're going to accept us or not. The other day, someone told me, well, you know, Pastor, there's people in this church that don't like you. So? That's not my problem if you don't like me. I didn't come to be liked. I came to proclaim the truth. And if I'm not doing my job, then that's one thing. But if I'm doing my job, then so? So what if you don't like me? That's okay. Just know that I love you. God calls us to love each other. I don't have to like you, but God does tell me I have to love you, even my own enemies. And so it comes to a point that when you have the Holy Spirit in your life and He's guiding you, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. If you're living the truth because you have the Holy Spirit in you, so I'm doing God's will according to His divine purpose. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of these truths, knowing that He empowers us to discern right from wrong. Discernment. I remember one time, that was another thing. Someone said, Pastor, you don't have the gift of discernment. And you know, I was very offended at that. And I was like, what? And then I was like, yeah, you're probably right. You know, if I'm offended, it's because you're probably right. That, I didn't make the best choice on that one. That's the Holy Spirit letting us know that we need Him. Sometimes He speaks through people and letting us know the truth as well. Amen for that? Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's why we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We should be able to tell each other the truth in love, but the truth. Empowerment with that, this is why it, the Holy Spirit empowers us, okay, to be witnesses. My friends, Jesus commands us to be witnesses, spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8 says it. However, this task is impossible to accomplish on our own strength. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I walk by somebody and I know that I should tell them something. I know that they need this word in their life. I know that the answer to their problem is this, is Jesus, it's the word of life. And I fail out of my own strength because I'm afraid that I may not be accepted or liked, or that they would reject me. Okay? I say nothing. And that's why I can't do this on my own. That is why I'm desperately in need of this advocate, of this Holy Spirit that will allow me to testify what Christ has done in my life and what he's done for all humanity. And so the Holy Spirit allows us to be able to boldly proclaim the greatest news ever of salvation. With his divine enablement, we are emboldened to testify about Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross, and that he defeated death, and he is alive, and he is working for us, and that he sends this Holy Spirit to equip us to share the spiritual gifts that he's given us, to empower us to bear fruit that glorifies God. He emboldens us to share our faith with confidence, knowing that he works through us to draw others into a life-transforming relationship with Christ. Amen. My friends, this is why he is the indispensable Holy Spirit. He intercedes in our prayers. In Romans 8:26, we learn that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for our words. Too deep for our words. Man, I can't tell you how many times I pray. I was praying the other day at the Spanish church. Last night, we having a week of evangelism there. It was supposed to be a week of revival, but everybody decided to bring their friend. And I just wanted it to be the church and, you know, have a little revival for the church, but they brought friends. Amen? And so we had this petition box. And I'm here thinking about some eloquent words to say and something that's meaningful and impactful so that people can know that we have a God that answers prayers. And I'm like, Lord, help me to say this prayer. And I don't even know what I said. My Spanish just started like messing up and everything. And I started saying some words. I was like, did I even say that in the right predicate and all this other stuff? I just couldn't fathom the words. But you know who stepped in? The Holy Spirit. He knew where my heart was. He knew that my heart was with those petitions. He knew that I cared for the people and that I wanted that God answer these petitions and to have these miracles in these people's lives so that his glory could be magnified and so that they can see God's glory in their lives and power. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when we're burdened by the weight of our petitions. The Holy Spirit comes along our side. You know, he doesn't take them away. He doesn't take away your problems. But he's right there with you, reassuring you, advocating on your behalf to the Father. He knows the desires of our hearts and articulates them in a way that it will match God's will. My friends, remember I spoke about that a couple weeks ago or last week or so, where it's like we pray and we ask God and it matches God's will and we're at one with God. And so through prayer, the Holy Spirit strengthens our relationship with God, deepening our intimacy with him. He teaches us to pray in alignment with God's purposes, empowering us to experience the miraculous power of prayer in our lives. And with that, my friends, finally, the Holy Spirit serves as the seal of our redemption. Going back to eschatology and how we view times. You know, I was so scared as an Adventist at times because I said, when the day of probation comes, I'm going to be lost, because if I don't have this seal and you know, if I don't get that seal right there, you know, of God. And I was just so, I had this fear in my mind, you know, going through the tribulations. What if when the Holy Spirit leaves the face of this earth? And I'm just thinking, I'm like, what? And so as I was reading this verse here, where he says, and I will ask for the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Then why am I afraid of the time of trouble? That means that the Holy Spirit will be with me. It may not be with those that rejected him, where there is evil, but the Spirit stays with me. He will be with me. He's not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit serves as a seal of our redemption, marking us as belonging to God. Let's go to the book of Ephesians really quick. Book of Ephesians. This is not me just talking. This is scripture here. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. Look what it says here, my friends. It says, and not also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. When you went, believed. Not in the time of trouble. Time of trouble, you should, after, you know, probation happens, you already have made a choice. You either in or you out. Right? So this is from the moment that you what? You believed. You are sealed. It says, and it continues, what are you sealed with? The promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing what? I'm reading from the NIV. Guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemptions of those who are God's possession. Wow. To the praise of his glory. Amen. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us, guaranteeing our inheritance as children of God. His presence in our lives serves as a constant reminder, my friends. So even when we're going in the time of trouble and things are happening, we will not forget. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in us and is constantly reminding us. We will not forget. We need the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit to remind us. In his presence, our lives serve as a constant reminder of God's faithfulness and promise to eternal life. And remember, eternal life doesn't start when Jesus comes and bling, and we have new bodies. Eternal life is also, that's part of it. But eternal life is having Christ in your life. It is the fulfillment of God living in you, of you having the Holy Spirit constantly accepting the gospel into your life, and knowing that God is going to fulfill that promise. The good work that he started in you, he will what? Finish. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption, assuring us of our security in Christ and preserving us until the day that we are united with our King, Jesus Christ. I can't wait for that day where I get to see the glory of Jesus. Amen? Can't wait for that day. Amen? So, in conclusion, because I have to go and baptize two people at the church, at the Spanish church, and I apologize. Amen to that too. I wish I had time to tell you the story of all that transpired, but I don't. But in conclusion, The Holy Spirit is an indispensable gift bestowed upon us by our loving Heavenly Father. And as I was studying this, and I urge you to, if you need it, if you would like this book too, that everyone's reading, it's only $2 at the ABC. I'm gonna go get some in English and Spanish, and I'll get some in English for I was gonna get some for Shalan too. So anyone would like this book, I can also get it for you. I don't know, I have to see if they have to pre-order it or if they already have some there at the ABC. But this is so comforting to know. I grew up Pentecostal, my friends. Okay. And I want to tell you, I love the Adventist Church, because when I came to the Adventist Church, you know, the concept of the Holy Spirit is totally different from how Pentecostals view it a little bit. Okay. Yes, we believe in the whole Trinity and things like that, you know, as far as what, that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in the Pentecostal Church, there's three ways that you get the Holy Spirit. Okay. One of the ways that you get the Holy Spirit, or that at least you know that you have the Holy Spirit, besides accepting Christ into your life, is if you get the Holy Spirit and you start to dance. You feel the Holy Spirit in you. And I remember my grandmother, I just visited her the other, you know, a couple months ago. And, you know, I believe that she is sealed. I really do. She served God the best way that she can, and she understood to her truth, you know, up to her truth. And, it was funny because when I was over there, she goes, you know, her dementia is kind of kicking in. She goes, you're a pastor, right? And I said, yeah, Grandma. She goes, at Venice, huh? And I said, yeah, Grandma. She goes, I don't eat pork no more. I said, that's good, Grandma. And she goes, and I keep the Sabbath. And I said, that's good, Grandma. She goes, on Sunday. And I said, that's fine, Grandma. You're okay, Grandma. I love you. You know, in her own way of thinking, I understand that she hasn't been able to understand, graspfully the word. And so I know that God has her sealed, and once he puts her to sleep, I will see her one day or another. But I was fearful myself, because when I grew up in her church, every summer that I would go, and we would go every day to church, even on Sabbath, it was just Sabbath night, but we would go every day to church. I remember that I didn't dance how she danced. You know, she's old school Pentecostal, so they grew their hair out all the way down here. You know, they didn't cut their hair. They couldn't cut their hair. That was their veil. And so I remember she would have her hair in a ponytail, like braids, and she would put it up like in a little bun. But when the Holy Spirit came into her, she took out that pin, and it was like a helicopter. You know, she was jumping and she was feeling the Holy Spirit, and it was like, and I was like, whoa, Grandma, you know. And I would step aside and I see everybody doing things, and I was like, why am I not feeling this? I love God too. I want this. And I recall the moment that they called all the young people to the front, and I saw that my friends, they were getting the Holy Spirit, and they will fall back. You know, the pastor would pray for them, and I didn't see them push them, but, you know, they will fall back. And so I went up there eagerly wanting the Holy Spirit to be poured down upon me. And I was like, give me some of that oil. And, you know, as the pastor came to me and he put that oil there and he says some gibberish words, because that's another way that they receive the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. That is what they believe, that if you speak in tongues, then the Holy Spirit is poured upon you too. And he was like, and amen. And I remember that, like, he did like this, and my neck almost broke, but I didn't fall back. And so he poured a little bit of more oil, and the same thing, Hashemelah, in the name of Jesus, and I didn't fall back. And I was like, what's going on here? And I'm looking to the side. I know the deacon's back there waiting for me to fall back, and he was going to catch me. And I'm looking to my side, and my friends are looking at me like, hurry up, man, I want to get some of this too. And so he did it again, and this time he poured the whole thing of oil on my face, and all that is just coming down. And he did it again, and I didn't fall back. And, you know, unfortunately, he didn't stay praying there for me enough. I didn't know if, I was like, Lord, he's praying for me. It's not enough. The oil is not enough. It's all over me. It's all dripping down my shirt and everything. And they put me aside. I was rejected. The Holy Spirit rejected me? I was like, what? And so I was like an outcast, you know? because I didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And so when I came to the Adventist church, I understood the Holy Spirit worked differently. I'm not here to judge my Pentecostal brothers and sisters. We understand a little bit different. How the Holy Spirit moves into the life of the person is something that is a transforming of the character of the person. Can you speak in tongues? Maybe. I don't know. We read in Paul and there's different things. And I've seen people talk Spanish that never spoke Spanish. And people talk English that never spoke English and Chinese and other languages. We understand that those concepts. But what I want to say here is that the Holy Spirit doesn't reject no one that has a willing heart to accept Christ in their lives. It is our seal of redemption. Through his comforting presence, divine guidance, empowering presence, intercessory ministry, and sealing of redemption, the Holy Spirit ministers to our every need, equipping us to be, listen to this, equipping us to live a life of victory. And you say, victory over what? What do you think? Sin. A life of victory over sin, not for our glory, not to say, I am no longer a thief, or I'm no longer a liar, I'm no longer, I keep the Sabbath, I'm not a Sabbath breaker. No, my friends. The glory goes to God. It always does and always has. Let us therefore yield to the Holy Spirit's leading, surrendering our lives completely to his control and allowing him to work mightily within us. May we never underestimate the profound impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need him all the time. You can ask for him. Don't be afraid. You can ask for him. And he'll be there in our lives and in the world around us. He's just waiting for us to pray for him. We don't have to wait for the latter day rain. No, that's now, my friends. We are living in the times in which we need the Holy Spirit desperately, as much as we need oxygen, as much as we need food. We need the Holy Spirit because he will always lead us into truth, and the truth shall set us free. I hope, my friends, that if today, if you feel that you want the Holy Spirit in your life, if you feel that you need the Holy Spirit in your life, if you want to surrender to God's will and you need that Holy Spirit to make some changes, to make some adjustments in your life that seems almost impossible under your own strength, the Holy Spirit can give you that strength. The Holy Spirit can give you the power to overcome. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but that's why it's the Holy Spirit. That's why it's God. We just underestimate it. Don't do that, my friends. I plead with you, don't do that. God's power is amazing. It's impactful. It's profound. We can never and should never underestimate it. Amen? If today you want to receive the Holy Spirit in your life at this moment, and you want to have him guide you and remind you, and you want to surrender your life to him today, I ask you to please stand while I pray. Dear God, we come again boldly to your throne because you are our Father. You sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross for us, to live a perfect life and die on a cross for us so that we can live again, so that we can also, if we believe, we can also live. Father, I also understand through Scripture, not only do you want us to live, but you want to seal us so that we can inherit you forever and ever. The eternal life that we receive is one that we will get a chance to experience the moment that we accept you into our lives, the moment that you seal us, Father. Thank you so much for that gift, to be able to be in your presence. We don't have to wait until you come. We can be in your presence now as you live in our hearts and mind. Sometimes we want to do our own things, and forgive us, Father, because we know a lot of times we don't discern very well. But that's why we ask for a dose of your Holy Ghost. We need your Holy Spirit desperately as a church. That is the only way that we will have a revival within us and our church here in this community that desperately needs to know the amazing love of God and the gospel truth. So I just pray, Father, in a special way that you bless my brothers and sisters here that stood up today asking and requesting for the Holy Spirit to be poured down upon them. May they be able to hear the words and be reminded constantly, always, as you do to me, Father, of your love, of your judgment, of all that's to come. May we be reminded that we're not alone, that you are with us as we walk through the valley of shadow of death. And we have to fear no evil because we have the light. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Forgive us for our sins and falling short of your glory. But thank you for the Holy Spirit that advocates for us and helps us to come back to the light and walk where we've left off. We love you, Father, and so we pray this because we can't wait to see you face to face. Until then, Father, be with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.